Hello and welcome to the Weekend Wrap for the week on Wednesday. I am Ben Davison, and this week we want to talk about a few things. We want to talk about COVID-19 and its resurgence in the hashtag Gladys cluster, hashtag Gladys bobble. We also want to talk about the impact of allowing people who argue with the umpire for a living to come into quarantine. As it turns out, they are arguing with the umpires of quarantine and as a result breaking some rules. We also want to talk about the Morrison government's plan to make people wait 2 years to get a divorce, no matter how unhappy or abusive their marriage may be. And we also just really want to quickly touch on the craziness that's going on in America, as well as the Morrison government's approach to quarantine. Apparently, when it comes to people, that's a state problem, but when it comes to pigeons, the Morrison government is there with the guillotine. So first to COVID-19, where we've seen 6 new community transmissions in New South Wales, and I'm seeing on Twitter, hashtag Gladys cluster is trending. And of course, we're also seeing some issues around the tennis players and officials coming into Victoria for the Australian Open, being on flights where people have tested positive, and I think 4 people now have tested positive for COVID-19. But even more than that, as regards to the Australian Open, we're seeing some minor infractions, technical fouls, I guess they might be called in tennis. I don't know. I don't play tennis. I don't know if that's the right lingo. If it's not, let me know. Send us a comment. Send us an email. Tell us what it's actually called when small fouls are made in tennis. But the problem with the tennis players and officials is they're opening doors, they're talking across balconies. These minor infractions, as minor as they may seem, can result in greater spread of COVID. And given so many of them are coming from countries where COVID is essentially out of control, it's really important that they follow our rules. You know, don't mind a bit of asking the umpire for clarification, folks. But once the rule is there, you got to follow it. You got to look after yourself and each other. It's really, really important. Now, in New South Wales, it's a separate story again. This is about community transmission. This is about the ongoing battle that New South Wales is having with community transmission. And really, folks, it's starting to impact, it's massively impacting on people's lives here. You're seeing people not being able to leave Sydney, really, not being able to go to other parts of the country really restricting their interactions with New South Wales. And you can understand why, too, when you consider how much COVID is still circulating in New South Wales. The Premier of New South Wales has said that they need to do more tests, that they're not on top of their testing regime. They're not hitting those goals and targets that they had set for themselves. This Gladys cluster doesn't seem to be totally out of control, and that's a really good thing, but it does seem to be a problem. And of course, any problem when it comes to COVID has the potential to get massively out of control and cause huge numbers of very sick people and, of course, deaths, as we're seeing now in America and in the UK still. I think the last time we spoke on the week on Wednesday, we were looking at something like 1 in 30 people in London. I've now seen reports of about 1 in 10 people in London. We've seen massive lockdowns in the UK, really very harsh, even more strict than we've seen here in Australia. And we're starting to see the similar numbers again in California. We have to take this seriously. I know people are tired. I know people are fatigued. I'm tired. I'm over it. I want to go and spend time with people too. I want to go, believe it or not, even I want to go to Sydney and see some people and interact with them. But folks, we have to take this seriously, and we have to stay on top of it. So, New South Wales, wear your masks, do the right thing, look after yourselves, look after each other. It's really, really important that you do that. One of the other issues that came up since we last spoke on the week on Wednesday, I hope you've already downloaded and listened to this week's episode. If not, get onto it, have a go, give it a listen, is of course that the Morrison government, who gave us the plebiscite nobody wanted, is now looking at enacting a law that would result in people having to wait 2 years for a divorce, sort of regardless of how abusive or miserable or unhappy that marriage might be. You'd have to go through this process that would take 2 years before you could get divorced. Now, this is a ridiculous notion. This is from the same government that tells us they don't want to tell people how to spend their money. They're more than happy to tell people how to live their lives. And you'd sort of expect this thing in a country where you've got a really strong church influence in the government. And what we're starting to see, folks, is the Morrison religious prosperity belief system of Christianity that was all about, you know, the greedy man is the holy man, is also starting to filter into these sort of family law decisions. We've seen them try and abolish the family court. Now we're seeing them try and make marriage, even divorce, even more difficult than it already is. If people are unhappy in a marriage, they should have the right to get divorced. That's a fundamental premise, no-fault divorce. You know, we don't want to see the kind of awful things that happened in the past where people in abusive relationships were literally legally trapped in those relationships for months or even years at a time. So hopefully the Morrison government will abandon this idea. Nobody wants to see marriages fail. It's unfortunate when they do, but marriages do fail, and there's no point trying to force people to make something that is fundamentally broken work just for the sake of meeting some kind of arbitrary government deadline based on some kind of personal belief system that the Prime Minister of the time and most of his cabinet happen to have. That would be a shockingly outrageous misuse of government, in my view, and hopefully in yours as well. Of course, America has continued its implosion and re-emergence, if you like. Joe Biden is talking about day one stuff, you know, signing on to the Paris Climate Accord again, reuniting the children who were separated from their parents at the borders by Trump with their parents, dealing with a whole range of the Trump excesses really from day one. This is really great stuff to hear. We're also seeing the second impeachment of Donald Trump go through the Congress. We talked about that a little bit on this week's episode of The Week on Wednesday, so check that out for more details. Van breaks that down really, really well. Lots of good information there. What's happened since Wednesday, of course, is that all of this has to go up to the Senate in the United States, which is, of course, still Republican-controlled up until Wednesday, when the Senate will become 50-50 and Kamala Harris, as vice president, will have the deciding vote. But Mitch McConnell, who is the Republican majority leader of the Senate, has now told his senators to vote their conscience. I have to say, I was surprised by that. I really thought Mitch McConnell would, as they say, crack the whip, which means make people vote the party line, which would have been in support of Trump and against impeachment. It now seems as though that's not going to happen. I'm still not sure how Mitch McConnell himself is going to vote, and that will sway a bunch of people. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They're now saying it's not going to be dealt with until after Biden is inaugurated and after the Democrats effectively get control of the Senate. You can see why the Republicans would want this to politically play out that way. It becomes a Democrat problem rather than a Republican problem in terms of who's in control of the process. But we'll wait and see what happens over the next couple of weeks. Of course, the real thing here is that once Trump is gone from office, as he will be from the 20th of January, why would you continue with this process? What's to gain? Well, what's to gain is it stops Trump ever running for public office again. That's one of the options on the table here, is if they can use this process to effectively not just condemn Trump's actions and hold him responsible for what he's done, which would be in some ways a first for Donald Trump over the course of his long, miserable, bloated tangerine life, it would also prevent him from running in the presidential election in 2024 or some other election should he decide he wants to be the dog catcher down there in Florida where he's moving to. But, and that's a huge outcome. Potentially that's a huge outcome because as much as Biden performed incredibly well in the election, he did have to perform incredibly well in order to win. He did have to get a record number of votes because Trump also got a record number of votes. And we haven't really talked about that much. It's not something we want to focus a lot of attention on at this stage of what we're doing, but it is certainly something that some people in America are concerned about, is that Trump will try and make a comeback. And that is, frankly, just as terrifying as the idea that he would have won election in the first place. So Impeachment is underway. We'll see what happens. It'll play out. It'll keep playing out. As much as I'd like to say Trump's going to disappear, sadly, I think the Trumpian legacy is going to continue on, and we'll see what happens over the next weeks, months, and probably, unfortunately, years as well. The final thing that I want to talk about for our weekend wrap, which is an interesting thing I think to talk about with your colleagues and co-workers over the week, is the Morrison government's insistence that while the states are responsible for quarantine in the various states and territories and have essentially made the premiers deal with the tens of thousands of Australians who want to come home from COVID-infected countries, have the Morrison government having effectively abandoned some 37,000 people who they promised they'd get home by Christmas, who they still haven't got home yet, having turned down charter flights, although now apparently there's some movement on all of that, and we may see some more Australians coming home more quickly, which would be great to see. The Morrison government has essentially had that position and made the states deal with these issues. During the week, towards the end of the week, we saw a pigeon arrive in Australia, a pigeon who had come from, my understanding is from the Americas, but this exhausted, tired pigeon, it was immediately seized upon by the Morrison government for execution. That the Morrison government claimed its responsibility for quarantine and said that this animal had to be put down, and even though it had arrived in Victoria and the Victorian government was sort of, you know, amused, and we're all sort of amused by this idea that a pigeon had made this sort of long, arduous journey and was still alive and kicking, and, you know, it was kind of a fun thing. The Morrison government, of course, being the killjoys that they are, don't forget these are the people who want to keep you trapped in a loveless marriage, said it had to be put down. Now, from my perspective, I'm not really fazed about the pigeon, really, one way or another. If the pigeon has to be put down, then that's unfortunate for the pigeon. But whatever the rules are around quarantine, I want to respect those, because in Australia, we've done really well with our quarantine more broadly when it comes to flora and fauna. Of course, there's been lapses, of course, there's been problems, but, you know, we don't have rabies in this country, for example. So, by all means, let's deal with these things appropriately. But the big issue here is that this is so emblematic, so symbolic of the Morrison government, not prepared to tackle the big issues, not prepared to deal with what the Australian people need it to deal with, not prepared to help the Australian people get through one of the most challenging and trying periods in our nation's history, through COVID-19, through trying to get Australians home, through hotel quarantine, through getting people safely around in our communities. That's all being punted off to the states to deal with. That's all being made someone else's problem. But when it comes to something simple, something low-key, something that the government can put its stamp of authority on, claim to have taken decisive action, and yet have very little repercussion in the immediate term, it's happy to jump in there and say that pigeon has to be put to death. As I say, maybe the pigeon has to go. That's not really for me to say. But what I would say is that this is symbolic of a Morrison government that does not care, is not prepared to deal with, doesn't have a plan or a vision for how to help the Australian people, but really just wants to do the easy things, the low-hanging things. So sort of on that basis, I'm in the pigeon's corner, right? Like, on that basis, I'm like, if the Morrison government wants to have you put down, I'm there with you. Like, let's find a way to keep the pigeon alive, just so the Morrison government, you know, who only wants to pick and choose when it's responsible for its constitutional responsibilities, doesn't get away with that kind of malarkey and effrontery with the Australian people. Anyway, that's the weekend wrap. Someone online described this as Ben's angry rant. I hope you're enjoying it. And even if you do think it's my angry rant, you're sharing it, talking about it, and I really appreciate that. Don't forget to tune into The Week on Wednesday, where Van joins me every week to talk about the big issues of the week. We go in-depth on fewer issues. We spend more time. It's really worthwhile. Thanks to everyone who's listened to that. Thanks to everyone who's listening to The Weekend Wrap. And be kind to yourselves and be kind to each other. Bye.